Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Think about the last time you noticed a bird. Was it flying away from a predator? Or maybe it was building a nest? Bird Body is a new exhibit at the Charles Alice Museum in Milwaukee that explores what people can learn about themselves by observing the birds around them. Hattie Grimm is the artist in residence at the Art Museum and the creator of the exhibit. For this month's Chirp Chat, Grimm joins Lake Effect's Excret Nunez to talk about her inspiration for Bird Body and how it engages visitors.
For today's episode of Chirp Chat, I thought it'd be interesting to explore what birds represent in people's lives. And Hattie, your art exhibition features 20 original wooden paintings and sculptures. What inspired you to create this collection of artwork?
Yeah, so I formed a relationship with birds when I was going through a hard time. And to cope with that, I started going to the lake every morning. For just 10 minutes, I would stand there, and that early in the morning at sunrise, really nobody else is there except for the birds. And so I got to see mergansers and grebes and red-winged blackbirds. And one time I saw a pelican, and I got to see them swim and hunt and sing. So naturally, birds became a really relevant symbol in my artwork. Birds teach us how to honor our body's intuitive wisdom. They fly thousands of miles into the unknown with no map, trusting in their instincts to lead them and their flock to safety. And our animal bodies have the same instincts to keep us and keep our flock safe. So I'm really inspired by my own journey of trying to tap into my own body's communication and honor it when I need rest, when I need to grieve, when I need to celebrate. Unfortunately, we have inherited a culture that expects us to ignore or avoid this communication, ignore our desires, our bodily needs, our emotions in favor of productivity, in favor of what someone with more power tells us we should be doing. So I think it's a really important part of becoming more free and more ourselves to tap back into what our body knows about keeping us safe and keeping us happy.
And do you feel like birds have always played some sort of role in your life, or is it something that you just started taking notice of during this time in your life?
They really came to me more in the past couple years during that difficult time. The lake has always been something really important to me and something that's really calming for me. And so that was kind of my initial entry into taking care of myself and just spending time at the lake. I ended up spending a lot of time with the birds.
And I noticed your paintings and sculptures aren't the reflection of a particular bird species. Can you describe your artwork to our listeners so they have an idea?
Yeah, so my paintings and my sculptures are not representative of any specific species of bird. They're more just a representation of birds as a symbol of freedom and intuition. So the birds are really a representation of my body, of me as a bird. So some of them are bird-human hybrids. Some are flying, hanging on the wall. Some are standing. Some of the sculptures are small and could fit in the palm of my hand. And the biggest one is bigger than me. It's 6 feet by 4 feet. So the sculptures are made out of reclaimed wood that I cut with my jigsaw. They're painted with really bright colors like watery blues and yellow, and one of them is hot pink. And inside of the bird and human bodies are swirls and waves and squiggles and words and pictures to represent the communication that I want to honor that I feel in my body.
Yeah, and I noticed that another important element of your art exhibition is that it's interactive and encourages people to be curious and reflect on the role birds play in their lives. Why did you decide to do this?
So there are two interactive activities in the show. One is that people are encouraged to draw their own bird, and the other is that you can tell your own bird story. Creating rituals for people to participate in my work is really essential to my philosophy about my artwork. As a former teacher, it's really important for people to be able to engage with my work so that I can show them what I'm talking about rather than just tell them. So the activities are meant for people to feel a sense of play, a connection to the birds in their environment, a connection to their authentic creative self in a way that there's no stakes, no judgment, no pressure.
And you recently had a bird parade. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, so the bird parade involves a giant bird puppet that I built. It takes 4 people to carry it. And myself and my collaborator, Haley Fuhrer, developed a intention-setting workshop that is themed around collective liberation and birds as a symbol of freedom. So the workshop involves yoga and meditation and journaling and funneling those things into an intention of what people feel capable of and want to contribute to the cause of their community and collective liberation. So we write the intentions down on fabric feathers, we attach the feathers to the giant bird, and then we parade the bird around whatever environment we're in with music and streamers and twirlers and egg shakers. And it's a really beautiful celebration to feel connected to one another, connected to the natural world, connected to ourselves.
I love that. And I could understand how I would feel even more connected to the environment that we're in when we're sharing that space. In general, I guess, what do you hope people come away with after seeing your artwork?
I hope that people can just offer themselves a moment to tune into their own bodies and emotions and just give themselves a moment to move away from a state of frozen panic or overwhelm that we can find ourselves in and more into a flow in feeling feelings and expressing ourselves and connecting with others. Invite them to be thoughtful about the small beauties in birds and their lives and just be appreciative of the life that we have on Earth and the world around us.
Absolutely. And I understand that people who submitted bird stories during your art exhibit have agreed to have them read or played. Can we read a few together? Yeah,
absolutely. I would love to. People were really thoughtful in their stories that they reflected on. Here's one. It says, "The birds in this Amazon rainforest are majestic. Visiting made me want to know more about birds. As I grow older, I begin to understand the intrigue of them."
Oh, wow. That's really sweet. Okay, so here's another bird memory someone shared. "Getting to see the resplendent quetzal in Guatemala alongside new friends. It was stunning and awe-inspiring."
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
That's a great one. Let's see. This is a really sweet one. It says, "I never got to meet my mom's dad, at least not a time where I could remember. Anytime we ever saw a cardinal, my mom would tell me that it was her dad checking in on us."
Another one that's really cute is, "My dad's favorite bird is the chickadee. I always think of him when I see them or hear their call, chickadee-dee-dee. I love the springtime for the birds," or "I love birds for the spring?"
Oh, it's sweet how many of these bird stories involve family members or loved ones, that the natural world connects us also to our loved ones in the human world.
Yeah, like even if they're not there or present.
Yeah.
Another one that stood out to me was, "My grandparents' cottage in Michigan sits on a small lake where blue herons always frequent. Whenever I see a blue heron, I'm reminded of all my childhood memories of my family going to our little lake house together. The herons were always silent observers of us and everyone on the lake. It was as if they stood still and watched us for hours."
That's a beautiful one.
Well, I really enjoyed reading a few bird memories with you. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. Before we wrap up, at the end of every Chirp Chat, I love for guests to shine a spotlight on a bird for the month. So Hattie, I'm wondering, what's a bird you'd like to highlight this month?
Well, I know that we have this bird in common, but I want to highlight mourning doves this month. Mourning doves are a type of dove. They're grayish brown, and they like to hang out up high on power lines or up in trees, but I've also seen them walking around the ground in my alley. But I picked them because I find their cooing to be really comforting, how slow and low it is. It almost feels like a sound that I can make, that I can relate to. But I've been especially noticing them lately since my beloved dog Teddy passed away. And spending time around a mourning dove feels kind of like spending time with him, just sitting and watching and appreciating the day, having nowhere to be, not rushed, just sitting up on the wire, enjoying the sunshine.
Oh my God, how do you even cry?
Oh, me too.
So sweet.
I know. Yeah, mourning doves are special.
Howdy, thank you so much for speaking with me today. I really enjoyed learning more about your artwork and reflecting on what birds can teach us. This was really fun.
Thank you so much, X-Grad. I had a lovely time, and yeah, I love birds.
Hattie Grimm is the artist in residence at the Charles Alice Art Museum. She spoke with Lake Effect's X-Grad Nunez about her exhibit, Bird Body, for a monthly series we call Chirp Chat. You can visit Grimm's exhibit at the Charles Alice Art Museum through September 25th. Now we'll hear an audio collage of people sharing their bird memories, which they recorded at Grimm's exhibit.
My favorite bird memory is the fact that my uncle, who passed away in February 2025, appears to us every morning as a cardinal. So when I sit out on my front porch with my morning coffee, every day without fail, he comes down to our bird feeder, says hello, and watches over us.
When my friend Stevie passed away from cancer, his favorite color was blue. And that morning when I was thinking of him and writing something to say, I got a peck at the window in front of my desk, and I looked up, and it was a blue jay just looking at me, and that was his visit. That's my bird story.
I bought my pet bird Basil from a pet store, which I normally don't like to do, but after 3 months of having him follow me in his glass case as I walk past, I thought, this is my bird, and I bought him, and we bonded immediately. And we had struggles when he had prepubescent hormones kicking in. We got into a fight, and it left me with 21 bloody wounds at the end of the week after trying to rebond with him and retrain him. It worked, though, and now we have just the best relationship. He's just my little buddy. He's my little dinosaur. He's my little dancing partner. He loves bad pop music, so it's amazing how the mammal and dinosaur souls can connect, even though historically they've been enemies in the tale of evolution.
When I was in middle school, I went to the pet store one day with my cousins, and there was a lone lovebird in a cage at the store. And I asked my mom if I could get it, and she said yes, and I named him Lovey. And he was the most beautiful bird I'd ever seen. He was small and green with a little bit of orange around his face. And he would sit on my shoulder while I did homework and hang out in my room and chill on my computer desk while I web chatted with my friends. And one day he just died and I had no idea why. And then I Googled lovebirds and they actually are supposed to be living in pairs. That's why they're called lovebirds. They die if they're alone. And it was one of the saddest memories of my childhood because I thought my love maybe should have been enough for him, and it wasn't. I think it taught me that, you know, there are some things in nature that we just don't understand. Anyway, RIP, Lovey.
I've moved around a lot, and for a few years I was living in Austin, Texas, and just being really sad that there is no high ground. It's so flat, they call it hill country, they're full of liars. However, there's a beautiful, beautiful piece of land called Raymer's Ranch that my friends and I would go out climbing in, and I always got to the top of the wall and just sat there because it's a beautiful view, it's cool in the shade, Texas summer, it was a very precious thing. And I look around and maybe 5 feet away is just a turkey vulture, just one of the largest birds I've ever seen in my life, just looking at me and probably wondering why I'm up in the trees with it, but I just said hi and waved a little out of nerves and quietly requested to be lowered out of the trees and decided to observe it from a relatively safe distance of the 40-ish feet below. Properly, I think that day I was okay not sharing the trees with the turkey vulture, but I can say I have done it.
Those were voice recordings from people who visited Hattie Grimm's exhibit called Bird Body, now on display at the Charles Alice Museum. You can listen to more episodes of Chirp Chat at WUWM.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And that wraps up today's show. Thank you so much for being here with us. I'm Joy Powers. If you missed any of Lake Effect this week, you can find all of our conversations at WUWM.com. If you'd like to take the show on the go, you can download the Lake Effect podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Tomorrow on Lake Effect, we'll speak with a local animal attorney about what animal law entails and the types of cases he takes on. Plus, comedian Matt Walsh will talk about the art of improv ahead of his performance with Bluebird Improv in Milwaukee. Thanks so much for joining us right here on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting WUWM.com/Lake Effect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.